thanks to the Forum 6 Tamworth and Wagga Wagga and the Odeon 5 Orange. It's the Talking Flickster podcast with JT and Grant Lee.
And just like that, we're back again for another Friday Talking Flicks Flickster edition. This is where we send one of our listeners along to see a movie and come on and review it for us. And today, Mr. Lee, I'm really excited about this one. I've waited so long.
You have, and I must say, when we talked about having this movie, you were so excited. Was I? No. No. I definitely wasn't excited.
No. Scream 7, and I was really hoping to go and see it last weekend, and it didn't happen. I know. I'm just devastated. So I'm going to try and see it this weekend. Okay?
Good. Tomorrow or Sunday, you'll get to see it. That's good.
Hopefully.
And I'm sure, because you love the Scream franchise.
I
think you've watched every single one since 1996, haven't you?
Love Ghostface. And there's only one Scream I didn't like.
Which one?
It was either 4 or 5, one of the two. I just didn't connect with it. But the other one, every other Scream's been amazing. It's been awesome. And I know this one's going to be just as good. I hear the box office has been very kind to it, in the last week.
Yeah, in the opening weekend, and our opening weekend in cinema is 4 days, and it's just under 100 mil worldwide, which that is huge for a horror movie.
Amazing. I love seeing horror movies at the top of the pops there, so this makes me very excited.
Tell me, did you see all those things online where people were getting scared with Ghostface and all that in cinemas? People were walking up behind them, as in staff were, scaring the customers.
Mm.
Yeah, I should have done it, but I forgot.
No, I want to do it to you.
You know I won't sleep for a month after.
And I feel sorry for your wife, Wendy. So, no, I will not do it. I love Wen too much. Okay, we're going to get into the trailer, and then we're going to talk about Scream 7. Can't wait to hear what our Flickster thought.
This is it.
Can't believe we're staying at the Psycho Killer B&B.
Oh, that's so cool. It's a motion detector.
Hello?
Hello, Sydney. Did you miss me? Nice little town you found. You and your pretty daughter reminds me of where we grew up.
Well, you sure know a lot about me for another asshole hiding behind a voice changer.
Oh, I'm not hiding, Sydney. Not this time.
A fighter like you. If you hurt her,
I'm not going to hurt her until you're here to see it.
Let's unmask this.
All your friends died for just being near you.
Where is my daughter?
Mom! Tatum, listen to me.
He's trying to find another way in. We're gonna do this together. You're gonna have to shoot him through the wall.
Where?
To the right of the door. Shoot him now. Do it now. He's dead.
You need to make sure
you shoot him in the head.
I'm gonna burn it all down.
Mother!
This is gonna be fun.
Oh, yes, we are going back to Woodsboro. Mr. Lee, would you like to welcome our Talking Flickster, please?
I certainly will. We're so excited to have this Talking Flickster back. He has done The Running Man. He has done One Battle After Another and Black Bag. Please put your hands together for Michael.
Woo!
G'day, how you going?
Welcome back.
Yeah, mate, welcome
back.
Thank you. How have you been?
Good, mate. Good. How are you guys been?
Oh, well.
Excellent.
Same old, same old.
Yeah. It's just another Friday. That's it.
I mean, usually Grant and I get excited to see each other, but I'm just not vibing him today. I don't know what's going on. Seems a bit off.
Too funny.
But, yeah, I mean, we will ask you a bit later on in the podcast, because you, earlier you did do one battle after another, which is huge Oscars talk at the moment, and that's only like a week away. So, yeah, we'd like to put a couple of questions to you a bit later on.
No worries. Mm. Awesome.
You reviewed that. Awesome. How long ago was that now? That'd be what? 4 months ago, maybe?
My God. Yeah. God, that went quick. Yeah. Around August, September, around that. Yeah. Mm. God, that went like that. Yeah.
Mm.
And it's...
Well,
time just gets away.
That was then, and now
it was the 30th of September.
Just you missed it. So I was pretty close.
You were very close.
There you go. Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. But this time around, Scream 7. I can't wait to go and see this. Am I going to like it? Am I going to come out of this pleased?
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. I'm gonna be honest. There are fans who are very passionate about this franchise, and I came out liking it, but I can see certain fans finding this film a bit divisive. But that doesn't mean that you might come out liking it. But there were things that were changed in this movie. There were ideas. You got to remember that I don't know if you've seen Scream 5 and Scream 6, but those directors were that one was directed by Radio Silence. And they had different characters as the main characters in that film. They had Melissa Barrera and General Ortega, and it was centered around these different characters, around those two sisters. And in this one, they flipped it, and now I've got Sydney to come back. And there was a reason, because something happened behind the scenes with Melissa Barrera. She did something on social media that was a bit controversial about Palestine, and the studio were like, we can't have that, you're fired. Mm. And then General Tiger left in support of Jenna, and then the directors left, and then they had to bring Kevin Williamson back, and he had to scramble and write a whole new story. So I can see, do you see what I mean, how this film feels like its own film and not a continuation of 5 and 6, but it's still another film, if that makes sense. But this is definitely Sydney's movie. Yeah. Just if you've been following the Scream lore and know what's going on, yeah.
Yeah. I've got to say, I was a big fan of Jenna Ortega, and I'm disappointed to not have her in this film, because I think she was finally starting to get a bit of traction. And seeing Scream 6 and the way it ended, you looked at it and thought, okay, Scream 7 is going to have even a more prominent role for Jenna, because she's getting better and better. So disappointing. But that said, though, Michael, I am actually quite happy to have Neve Campbell back in this one, because
100%.
She's the OG.
Mm.
Yeah, she's the OG. And the reason why she wasn't in the 6th one was because of the fact that she wasn't happy with the money offer they gave her in the 6th one. And in this one, they offered her a good amount of money for her to come back, and she was happy to do it this time. And you know, she's definitely one of the highlights, the big massive highlights of this film. She's fantastic. She's great. And she deserves that money that she got.
And also you've got Courtney Cox back, Matthew Lillard, David Arquette, Mason Gooding. It's like the whole team is back together again for another installment. Yeah.
And the question is, David Arquette, he died in Scream 5. He got killed, and Matthew Lillard's character is back as Stu, and there's been so many questions about whether or not he is dead and what happened to him in the first movie where he was one of the original ghost faces. The TV fell on his head, and there's been so many debates for 30 years whether or not he's still alive. And do we get the answer in this movie? You still, honestly, they tease you enough to make you go, I'm still not incredibly sure if he's alive or not. Because they still, but he's in it. It's hard to explain without spoiling it, but he comes back, but you're not sure if it's really him or not. He's, am I allowed to say, how do I say this? He's on a Zoom call. He appears on a Zoom call and talks to Sydney, and it's like, is this really him, or is this some sort of I don't know, how do I say it? Someone that's trying to fool Sydney into thinking it's him, and it could be AI, and it's all trickery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the thing. And we do find out in the end what it is. And I just feel like certain fans who are hoping for something might be disappointed in the reveal. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, sounds interesting. So if you're a true fan, you want to go see it to find out.
That's it, yeah. And for the first two acts, you're definitely on the edge of your seat wanting to know that answer, and they definitely keep teasing Stu, if he's dead or alive and everything. Like, they even I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but the character Courtney Cox, she tries to find Stu's death certificate, and she can't find it. It's not in the record. So there's definitely a tease if he's still alive or if he's dead. So the fact that they can't find his death certificate makes you wonder, is he alive or not? So, and the reveal at the end still makes you question if he's alive or not. So I still think Scream 8, we're still going to wait for that answer.
Yeah. Michael, let's talk Ghostface. Now, you know, they're saying that every time Ghostface is around, you know, there's lots of carnage. But in this one, he's basically said he's not hiding this time. So what do we get out of this? Is this the fact that, because, you know, usually, like, you know, he knocks on the door and he hides outside the house. And this time it looks like he's coming inside these places and he's coming to them. Is that what's going on? Is that the change?
He's sort of more like now that, you know, you see Matthew Lillard and you see all these past characters, he's sort of like he's revealing who he is, but there's definitely a mystery of who the killer actually is behind the scenes that's probably trying to fool Sydney into thinking that these killers are back. Does that make sense? And the killer is someone that you just wouldn't expect. Like, it's a complete random, if that makes sense. But yeah, he does pop up in the houses and stuff like that. Like, he's hiding. He pops up from the roof of the attic and jumps down. He's in Sydney's house. Stuff like that, yeah. He's definitely, like, each film, he definitely gets more and more dangerous.
God, that sounds really bad. So do you reckon this one is scarier, more edge-of-your-seat movie than all the other six?
I still feel like the first one is still my favourite. I still think that's the best one. But when it comes to the violence, they've definitely raised the stakes in this one. Like, each time it gets more and more violent. And definitely there is a lot of violence in this one when it comes to the kills. So if you're there for the kills, you're going to be like, yeah, it's pretty good if you're into that sort of thing.
Because it is MA, so obviously there is a lot of killing if it's MA. Because they were saying it was going to be the biggest horror of the year, so it's looking like it could be as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think any other horror movie is going to beat this box office because, it made nearly $100 million. That's incredible.
Yeah, for an opening weekend, it is. It's incredible, right? It's good to see because a lot of cinemas need it.
That's it, yeah, 100%. That's true.
Would you say that there were lots of jump scares in this one? Did any particular moment get you jumping out of your seat?
Here's the thing. I have watched so many horror movies that I am desensitized to that sort of stuff. And I have watched Scream and I've watched all the six movies and I know it so well that I kind of can, I have a bit of a sense of what's going to happen. But I had my mother with me and I was watching her and she was covering her eyes quite a bit. So I'm watching her. I'm like, there's definitely jump scares in it. But because of it, asking me, I've watched so many movies that I'm just so used to it that I can sort of see it coming from a filmmaking storytelling aspect. Yeah. But definitely.
Oh, because, I'd be like your mum. I'd be sitting there with my eyes closed, my ears closed, basically crap.
Exactly
pants.
What you'd be doing.
Yeah, you know me too well, Jose.
I've
so
been
true.
To enough horror movies with you.
So was there any humour in it as well as the horror, or was it just purely horror?
100%. Ghostface is like Freddy Krueger. And it's funny, Wes Craven, who directed Nightmare on Elm Street, he directed Scream as well and created both of those killers. And they both have humor. And Scream has always had a blend of humor and horror in it. And the characters have always sort of been funny. Even the killers, like Matthew Lillard, was funny. You know, even though he was the killer. And I'm even Ghostface when he's on the phone. There's comedic elements to how he talks and stuff like that. So yeah, there is. There's a blend of horror and comedy.
Oh, good, good. Because some cinemas have been playing the new Scary Movie trailer before this, because that's the spoof from this. Some cinemas in America have been doing it, which I think is quite funny to play a spoof before the actual movie itself. So yeah.
And I saw that Scary Movie 6 trailer, and I am so excited to see that. It's good to see the Wayans brothers back in it, and I'm really keen to see it. Yeah.
Do you say spoof, Mr. Lee, or spoof? What do you call it?
Spoof. No, spoof. Isn't it spoof? I always say spoof.
Well, you can say parody. Yeah.
Yeah, parody. Yeah. Yeah.
Spoof. You can go have that with your double latte after the show.
Yes. And that's why spoof. My name is Grant, not Grant.
No. I just can't. So we obviously think there's going to be a Scream 8. We're all locking that bad boy in for maybe 2028, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. I 100%. They've probably already got ideas for it already, and they're going to start. Because these movies aren't very much to make. Even though 20 million, 30 million sounds like a lot, for a horror movie, that's pretty low budget. And the movie's already made nearly $100 million. It's already probably made profit already. So yeah, they're going to get going with it.
Yeah, which they have to, I must say. So yes, bit scary. Was there any performances that really stood out for you as in characters?
Sydney, she was a real highlight, and the Sydney and her daughter, that was a real highlight, and seeing the relationship with them in the film, that was really good, and how the daughter knew about, you know, her mother, and she even has, like, there's a thing in the franchise where they base these movies, they've made movies based on Sydney's life, like, and they call them Stab, and she's watched them, and she asked Sydney, did that really happen? Did this really happen? And Sydney doesn't really know whether to actually answer those questions. And that's what makes it interesting. The daughter kind of isn't really sure if it's all sort of over the top and it's been overdone in the movies, and she's not sure, because Sydney's been kind of been sheltering her from that. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And that's what, and yeah, that was interesting. And also Matthew Lillard, his appearance was really good too. Yeah.
Mm, that's great. And I'm looking forward to seeing all those characters doing their bit. A very important question, Michael. In the film, was there ever a moment when they should have been going outside instead of going upstairs and making stupid moves? Has to be, right? Because there's not a Scream movie that goes by where someone doesn't do something stupid.
I mean, they're in different areas. Like, there's one scene where they're in a pub, so they're definitely trying to change certain sequences. And there's even the scene where it's set in a high school production, like, stage theater. So it's in it, there is a house element, but I feel like by now Sydney is smart enough to not fall for those sort of tropes.
Yeah.
But the newer characters, but not Sydney. Yeah.
Well, especially her daughter, right? Who is it Tatum?
Yeah.
Yes, Tatum.
Yeah, and she named Sydney's best friend in the first movie who died. She named her daughter after that. And that's also something that the daughter isn't happy with. She's like, why did you name me after someone that got killed in it? And she has a reason for it, but it doesn't, like, to her, it's like, why would you name me after someone that got killed? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we've come to that time of the podcast. I'm just going to head over to the freezer. I'll just get 5 Choc Tops out. Now, out of the 5 Choc Tops, Michael, how many Choc Tops are you going to give this movie, Scream 7?
I'm going to say 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, my glory. Okay. Well, that's gets an applause, but it's not getting the big ding, ding, ding. Okay. Right, 2.5. Mr. Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, that's not bad for a horror. That's not bad. So, yeah, I'm impressed. So that's good.
Yes.
Still won't make me go see it, but I'm impressed.
Now,
before we go, Michael, we do have to ask, because you did see one battle after another, and as JT said at the beginning of the podcast, Oscars are around the corner. How do you think it's going to go? Because it just did the SAG or the actors.
Now that Sean Penn won the SAG, that award for Best Supporting Actor, there's definitely a chance he could win his third Academy Award. So there's a chance. It's very possible he could win it. But I feel like it's definitely between one battle after another, Marty Supreme and Sinners. It's definitely those three movies that it's anyone's game, in my opinion, because I reckon the lead actor would either be Leo or Timothy, but now that Michael won the SAG, he could win it. He could win the Oscar, Michael B. Jordan. So that's the thing. This is a very interesting year. And in a way, Michael B. Jordan played two characters. He played two brothers. Yeah,
which is pretty big, and it looked real. And the other thing too, at the BAFTAs, that guy who won it for I Swear, who beat all those famous actors. So it is up for anyone. Anyone can get it.
That's it. I will say the actress in Weapons, Amy Madigan, she plays the witch in Weapons. I don't know if you've seen that. She's going to win the Oscar for sure. She's going to win it for Best Supporting Actress. And Jessie Buckley will win it for Hamnet for Best Lead Actress. But with the lead actor, it's anyone's game. I reckon it's between Leo, Timothy, and Michael. So, and Best Supporting Actor, if Sean Penn doesn't win it, I reckon Stellan Skarsgård will probably get it if Sean Penn doesn't win it.
We'll see. Watch this space.
And Michael, in the Oscars challenge, myself or Grant Lee, who do you think will take it out this year?
Mate, I reckon it's a close call. I mean, you know, it's
there's no fence sitters on this podcast, Michael. You're in or you're out.
No, we won't make you choose.
I'm the current champion, and
yeah, he is.
I intend to maintain my crown in 2026.
I hope not. I hope it'll be next year. Will be the decider.
That's it.
It'll be a one battle after another. Against JT and Grant Lee.
I look forward to this next week, Mr. Lee. It's gonna be a big one. That's coming up next week, isn't it? That's our Oscars show. That'd be good.
So it's going to be very interesting. Our picks will be out next Friday, and the Oscars are on Monday. So, yes.
You know what? I've already done it. I've already gone through and I've already written it all up. I know. I'm quietly confident.
Oh, well. Yeah. Okay. Well, good. That's good. As long as you're quietly about it, that's good, because I'm not giving you my answers
because then you're copying me. Right. I know you're desperate this year. I know what's going on. Eyes to yourself, Mr. Lee.
I'm going to go straight to the top. I have people in high places.
Right to the top in your dreams, okay?
That's true.
Well, we'll catch you next Thursday. We're getting out. If you have a lovely weekend.
Thank you, you too. Thanks heaps, Michael.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate. And, hopefully Scream on the cards this weekend would be nice, wouldn't it?
Do it. See you next week.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Want to be our next Talking Flickster? Register now at forum6.com.au or odeon5.com.au. Until next time, we'll see you at the movies.